Prabhupada ki jai, Bhakti Vedanta ki jai, Rantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Giridhar Maharaj ki jai, Gopremanande
hari ki.
What did we discuss last week?
Lord Krishna says to gopis, the transcendental love will arise by hearing about me, by seeing my deity form, meditating on it, and discussing the pastime between the gopis.
Very good. Any other points?
Ananda Vrindavan Shampu Kavi Karnapur Philippa Rasila has gopas. There is the dancing, actual dancing, then there is Chalakeli, the water pastime, and then they wander through the forest. And when Krishna intimately enters all the Kunjas of the Gopis.
Good. Are you reading that book? Try and get it then. Everyone should get it. Any other points?
Krishna is the husband of everybody. All the
That's a relief.
Sorry?
That's a relief. Makes our life a lot easier. Any other points?
He's the Purusha.
Very good. But you have to remember that. Give up Purusha Bhav. Purusha Bhav keeps us in this world. Everyone has it. Anything else?
Lord Krishna is telling gopis that this world is like a dream. So give up this dream and serve me.
Oh, good. Anything else?
Krishna is serving the gopis, is giving very other achievements. Just very confused. Because in one previous class he said that your love is very commendable. That's why you come to me. On the other hand, he says you need to go back and in your spirits. He's talking about the duty at the same time, the love. You will find him at the same time.
Yeah, so the pastime begins, the chapter begins of the Rasa Lila, that Krishna calls all the gopis from Vrindavan from Vashana, Yavat, those places to the forest of Vrindavan. So the gopis arrive, and once arriving there, then Krishna, he speaks contradictory words to them, and he confuses them. And then Shukadeva Goswami stops the pastime and then gives some analysis that actually, if you have lust in the heart, then you cannot understand these pastimes. So there's some philosophical break, which is there, the number of verses. Then the pastime resumes, and now it becomes a battle between Krishna and the gopis. And Krishna is using very contradictory words. Because all of his Sanskrit, all of the words that Krishna uses, they can be taken both ways. They can be taken favorably and unfavorably, simultaneously. So he's speaking in one way very favorably to them, but then he's also speaking unfavorably to them. So tonight we'll continue, and the gopis will respond to Krishna after Krishna has been speaking. So we'll begin with verse 28. Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing these unpleasant words spoken by Govinda, the gopis became morose. Their great hopes were frustrated, and they felt insurmountable anxiety. Shri Chaitanya Prabhu.
The gopis did not know what to do. They considered falling at Krishna's feet and crying for his mercy, and perhaps remaining aloof and going back to their home. But they could do neither of these things, and so felt great anxiety.
Yeah. Any points?
I think they were very much attracted to Lord Krishna, although he was telling them to go back. But they didn't want to let go. And they were just thinking what to say to him.
Actually, gopis are challenging Krishna that you can't give us up. for your Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's our right to be, take shelter of you and take care of you and do everything what you want, to please you.
Good. Anything else?
So understand that to achieve Krishna, we have to develop that anxiety. But we can understand because here Krishna is making a point in a way he really wants an association.
Yeah. Anything else?
Their anxiety is in the case of Krishna.
Yeah. Any other points?
Their anxiety itself is purifying them.
Yeah, good point.
Once you give up everything for Krishna, you shouldn't go back.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise it's like eating vomit. If you vomit, and then you eat the vomit again, then that's madness. So if you give up the material world, but then you go back to it again. So it says a sannyasi, if someone takes sannyas, but then he goes back to family life, then he's eating vomit. So this is the position of the gopis, they're saying like this to Krishna. So the Sanskrit is very telling and very instructive. So, first of all, they are saying that there are strong anxiety. Their great hopes were frustrated and they felt insurmountable anxiety. So, there are obstacles in achieving Krishna in devotional life. It's not easy to achieve Krishna. And actually the obstacles are given by Krishna himself. We have to understand this point. If there are any obstacles in our devotional service, we take that's directly coming from Krishna. Why? Because Krishna wants to test us. If we're serious about getting to him. So the more serious you become to reach Krishna, the greater the obstacles become. Because Krishna wants to test, how far will you go to achieve him? So unless you have unlimited desire to achieve Krishna, you can't get to him. So Krishna will test us at every step in devotional service. So we have to be willing to overcome any obstacle. And as you advance, the obstacles will become greater. And then each time you pass that obstacle, then Krishna will give you even a stronger test. So you have a lot to look forward to in your devotional life. Krishna is going to wreck your life completely. How do you like that? He's going to wreck everything if he hasn't done it already. And if he did it, he's going to do it again, but next time he'll do it more. He'll make it more intense. But that is necessary. Why? Because he wants to bring you back to him. So he has to purify you of every single material attachment and anatta. All the ignorance in the heart has to be destroyed. So, Prabhupada says we should go to the place. I think Prabhupada actually said it just down there on this Beaconsfield Parade. Prabhupada used to go for morning walk. He used to walk from here down to the beach, and then he'd walk down to St. Kilda and walk back. Sometimes he'd go Botanical Garden, but sometimes he'd go here. Prabhupada walked along there, so it's considered Tirtha. So I think it was down there actually. Prabhupada said we should go to the place where they are selling Krishna anxiety and we should buy as much as possible. So this seems contradictory to why we join this movement. Hands up if you join this movement to be in anxiety. Okay, one person. I didn't join because I love Krishna. I joined because I wanted to be free from anxiety. And since I joined, it's mostly anxiety. So, yeah, they trick you in the beginning. They give you sweets. And they say, move into the temple. And then you move in, right? And then they send you to Crossways. I've been in the temple a couple of days. I said, now go to Crossways. I said, what's Crossways? I said, go down there and serve and then Then after that, they made it more intense. And then they said, go out and collect for the temple. I could tell you stories, but stuff I've been through since I've been a devotee. So many things. So we go through things. But why do we do that? Because we're accepting anxiety on behalf of Krishna. Actually, one Prabhupada disciple told me one time, a very advanced devotee, he told me one time, he said, unless you take responsibility for this movement and in this movement, you don't make advancement. Everyone makes advancement. It's only when you take responsibility that you begin to advance. So the more responsibility you take, the greater the anxiety becomes. And the greater the anxiety becomes, the more you become purified and the more dear you become to Krishna. So Krishna wants to see, will you do anything for him? Will you take up any responsibility for him? Are you willing to do that? And so Krishna will test. He'll say, are you willing to do this for me? Now are you willing to do that for me? Now are you willing to do that? And he will purify us. So we have to overcome every obstacle and we have to accept the anxiety. But actually the anxiety becomes our greatest pleasure because we're taking that anxiety for Krishna. So then it gives us pleasure. We can't live without it. I was even thinking that the other day. I was thinking I should leave ISKCON and get a job. I was thinking like that. I was thinking I could do this. But I thought, then I won't be happy. Even though, you know, I have some anxiety serving Krishna, but if I give that up, I won't be happy. So it's better to take the anxiety for Krishna. So, the gopis, they understand both of Krishna's meanings. Because he's speaking in two ways simultaneously. He's saying favorably. He's saying, there's no better place to stay than Vrindavan. Vrindavan's the best place. Stay here. But if you take it the other way, he's saying, leave immediately. It's not safe here. Go back to your families. So they understand both. They can hear both. But we have to understand the psychology of what's taking place here. You have to understand who and what is God. Who is God? It's a trick question. Who is God? Yeah, we all know he's Krishna. Come on. He's the 10th canto. Give me something a little more. You know, your kids can give me that answer. Oh, Krishna. Who is God? Tell me something about him, please. Yeah, very good. But we're looking something more about his personality and his psychology. Person, yeah. Big, so take it easy.
Greatest renunciation. Is
yeah. Everyone's speaking philosophy. Let's go a bit deeper here.
He attracts, so the guy is tough.
Yeah. Okay. But who is he? Tell me something about the boy.
He's a young boy who's
very good. Now we're talking. We understand. You have to understand him on a deeper level now. Okay. How old is he? 16. Navikishor. Navikishor means 16. Right. Fresh. Nava means fresh. 16. Right. And how old are the gopis? 15. Like that. So 15, 16. About the same age as Krishna. So we have to understand the psychology. I was meditating on this today while I'm reading. I'm thinking, they understand he's saying stay here, but then simultaneously he's saying leave. So why don't they just overcome their misunderstanding and just say, well, actually he's saying staying and everyone's happy. But they can't do that. They're completely distraught. Why? Because they're 15 years old. And when you're 15 years old, right, when the boy that you like or the girl that you like, when they say something negative towards you, right, it crushes your heart. So even though they know, oh, he's saying leave, but just the sound that he's also speaking negatively, he's saying, why did you come here? Well, I didn't call you. Please go back to your homes. You have responsibilities, right? But that crushes their heart. We have to understand the psychology, the depth and the level of exchange which is taking place between the gopis and Krishna at this point in time. So that is why it is affecting them so much, because they're young girls and he's a young boy. So even though they know, philosophically they know, but on the deepest level of rasa, because the Bhagavatam is dealing with rasa. It is dealing with the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. If you don't understand these things, you'll miss the whole point. So we have to go very deep in our understanding of the relationship, the exchange between Krishna and the gopis at this point. So, in the Sanskrit, it says they have sankalpa. What is sankalpa? Brat. Vow. Sankalpa. Right? It says here, strong desire. Sankalpa. Have you ever taken a sankalpa? I will do something. Right? Actually, it says in Kali Yuga, don't take it. Because you'll probably break it. As in Kali Yuga, it says. It said nectar of devotion. Don't go before the deities and say, I will do something, because you probably won't do it. Half the devotees even chant 16 rounds every day. We all say it, but then hands up if you ever once in your life, or hands up if you chant 16 rounds every single day since you became a devotee. Every single day. Every single. Really? Very good. Very good. First class. So every single day we say that, but most of us haven't. That. Most people didn't put their hands up. I don't chant 16 rounds every day. These days I do, but if I go back in the last number of years, the few times where things happen and then I didn't finish my rounds, I had to make up the next day or like that. These days it doesn't happen very often, but in the past sometimes it would happen. Rare occasion, but it happened. But I took the vow of chant every day, 16 rounds. So we take the vrat, but very difficult to maintain that vrat. So here, Krishna is saying to the gopis, why did you come? They're saying, or Shukadeva Goswami is speaking here, that they had taken a sankalpa. In other words, there was an unbreakable desire that they would be with Krishna. And they will not give that up under any circumstance. So what are they teaching us here? Why are the gopis the highest devotees? Because they won't give Krishna up under any circumstance. Right? What are we to learn from these pastimes? Because these are the most exalted pastimes in God's creation. What are we to learn from this? That we should be like that. Until we become as determined as the gopis, you don't get Krishna. You can't get Krishna with your mediocre devotion. You can't get Krishna with your breaking your vows. You can't attain Krishna if you don't have that fixed determination that you will attain Krishna. If you don't have that, you don't attain Krishna. So the gopis are teaching us this. So we have to learn this first, then we'll understand the higher things. So understand their meditation, understand their determination, understand their bhakti to Krishna, and then we'll understand all the rasa and all these things. If you don't, sometimes people try to understand the rasa. Oh, I want to hear about the gopis and Krishna. But you have no determination. So what is your qualification? Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam patam. David, wrong verse. What's the one where he says, Dhritabrata? What verse is that? Yeah. Satado kityanto mam. It's not coming to my head, but Krishna says in the Gita, he says, Dhritavrata. Krishna says, means fixed vow. Until you become like that, you cannot attain Krishna. That's the same point. Ekeha kuru nandana. He says, just one pointed. Dhritavrata. That's when you attain Krishna. So the gopis are like this. They're there. Right, and we'll see. We're going to read the verses. They say, we're here. We're not taking one step. Right? You say everything you want. We're here. Now, you work it out. Because we're not going anywhere. Right? And that's what Krishna is testing all of us. Yeah. Krishna will test. Will you go somewhere or will you stay here? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master, said, everyone else can leave, but you stay. So we have to, every one of us has to be like that. Okay, everyone else can leave, you can leave, you all go, I will stay. Yeah. Right, if you all want to go, that's your choice, but I will stay. I will serve Radha Balabha. Right, I'll get up in the morning, I'll do Mangalati, then I'll dress all the deities, right, and then I'll go and cook the breakfast, and I'll come and serve to them. Right, and then I'll go and I'll cook lunch, and then I'll bring it to them. And I'll put them to rest. Right, and then I'll wake them up, and then I'll do the fruit offering, and then I'll cook the 7 o'clock offering, and then I'll cook the 9 o'clock offering, and then I'll put them to rest. Right, and then I'll leave my body. Yeah, but we have that, but that should be our determination. I will not leave under any circumstance. Sometimes you go to Mayapur or Vrindavan, you meet pujaris who've been worshipping the same deity for 40 years, or 50 years, or 60 years. Right? So fixed, right, in their service to Krishna, that they worship the same deities in the same temple practically every day. Or even in ISKCON we have that. You go to Mayapur and you see Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu. So they started worshipping Mayapur in 1970 or 72. Right. So what is it now? How many years is that? That's
47.
Yeah, 44 years. Okay, so it means 44 years.
47, I was born in 1970.
Okay, so like that. Yeah, so that many years. No? So 45 years worshipping the same deities. No? That's Dridhavrata. That's how you understand what is bhakti. That's how you understand what the gopis' love for Krishna is. That is sankalpa. Right? We will serve Krishna under any circumstance. So, in the purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions the devotee has to be, or the gopis are like the chataki birds. What are the chataki birds?
She will not drink water without skin.
Yeah. She only drinks water from the?
No.
Yeah, from the cloud. When it hits the ground, they won't touch it. So they just follow the cloud. Right? Fixed. Right? What color is the cloud? Sham. Right? So what are the gopis like? Right? They just follow the cloud. Sham. Right? So the chitaki bird and the gopis are the same. Right? Because they just stick on the cloud. Right? Krishna is the same color. So gopis like that, they just stick like a chitaki bird, just following. We're not going anywhere else. We don't get our water from the ground. The water all over the ground. We will die, but we're only taking water from this one place. Right? So gopis like chitaki bird. And we have to become like chitaki bird. Right? We will die, but we will not go anywhere else. We're only going to stay for Krishna. And devotees have done that. There's devotees who have given up their life for ISKCON. The devotees who have done in Prabhupada's service, who
Ladini
Mataji. Right? She got shot in Africa. Right? They were going to shoot the devotees. She jumped and she grabbed the gun and said, "You don't touch," like that, and then they shot her. Right? She died for Krishna. Right? And Prabhupada said one time the bikies, hell's angels, you know, bikie people. They ride bikes, motorbike, like gangster people like that. They ride around, so gangs. So in America, they attacked one of the temples. They rode the motorbikes in like that. And devotees, like, yeah, they locked the gate and they went and hid. And Prabhupada said, you should be ready to die. Prabhupada said that. He said, you should be ready to die to defend the deities. If someone attacks, then you die. And if you do that, you'll become liberated. So that should be our consciousness, our mentality. We'll die for Krishna. So, any points?
Brahmanand was one. Brahmanand Prabhu.
That in Ladini Mataji is autobiography.
Not autobiography, but biography.
Biography. And I was just thinking about her when you were saying some devotees would do everything for the deities throughout the day. And she, it's written in that book that she would do all the services for some of the deities. And many devotees in ISKCON India and they seem to me that all the services for Devi.
Yeah, even in Ireland, there's one, Mataji, I know, she does like that. She makes all the deity sets. She worships them from morning till night. The only time she stops is when she goes to Vrindavan. Then she goes back and she just worships the deities. So. Any other points? Their heads hanging down and their heavy, sorrowful breathing drying up their reddened lips. The gopis scratch the ground with their toes. Tears flow from their eyes, carrying their cudgel and washing away the vermilion smeared on their breasts. Thus they stood silently bearing the burden of their unhappiness. Jamuna?
The gopis said, if Krishna has not been conquered by our love, then our love must not be genuine. And if we cannot properly love Krishna, what is the use of our lives? Their reddish lips were drying up because of the hot breathing that arose from their unhappiness. When the hot sun dries ripe red bimba fruits, dark spots appear on them and they grow soft. The beautiful lips of the gopis similarly changed in appearance. They stood silently before Krishna, unable to speak.
So, any points there?
They couldn't say anything, but their body was
Yeah. So, what we learn from the gopis is that a devotee never feels qualified. That's actually the quality of prema. Prema means love for Krishna. So the quality of prema is dānya. Dānya means humility. You can't have prema or love for Krishna unless you have perfect humility. And if you don't have perfect humility, you can't develop prema. Like that. So the two are synonymous. You can't have one without the other. You have to have both. You can say, I love Krishna, I love Krishna, I have bhakti, I have devotion to Krishna, but if you don't have real humility, then... So the gopis, they're feeling unqualified. They're not feeling... Even though they're the most qualified, they're feeling unqualified. They're feeling, now we're here, and he's telling us to go, so there must be something wrong with us. Why would he tell us to go? We love him. But obviously our love is not sincere enough or deep enough or pure enough, and now he's saying go. So they're feeling great humility. So that is the nature of prema or real love for Krishna. So one who feels himself to be fallen, then he becomes advanced. One who feels himself to be advanced, he is fallen. So that is the nature of qualification in devotional service. We don't become qualified until we feel ourselves fallen in a genuine way. Because when you really feel fallen, when you really feel humble in a genuine way, tears come from the eyes. So you'll know. If you have real humility, you'll know, because tears will come from the eyes. And only you know that. But if it's really there, then you'll feel like that. You feel disqualified. I told you several times. You know, one time I was at Radhakund. So I was chanting my japa at Raghunath Das Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. Kids are being too distracting. They have to settle down a bit. So I was chanting at the Bhajan Kutir. And then there's one picture where Raghunath Das... kids are going to have to take them to the back. Down the back. So everyone's becoming distracted. You guys, hey, you two, go to the back. Maybe find some nice spot and you can come to the back. Otherwise everyone's distracted and I can't speak. Go to the back. Take your things. That's it. That's good. So I was chanting and there's one picture. So in the picture, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's chanting. And then in the picture, there's two pastimes in the picture. One is when Krishna is, the tiger has come, and the tiger is next to Raghunath Das, and Krishna is standing there. And then Krishna is watching Raghunath Das, so the tiger will not eat him. So because Krishna is standing there protecting his own devotee, serving his own devotee, and displaying his strongest quality, which is Bhakta Vatsala. And then in the picture simultaneously, but the pastimes are two different pastimes. Raghunath Das is chanting, and the sun is very hot, and then Srimati Radharani is holding her veil over his head to protect. So I was chanting my japa in front of the bhajan kuti, and the picture is inside. And then one Mataji came. She's some Bengali, I think. Mataji, some devotee. And she came, and when she saw the picture, immediately tears just came from her eyes. And it was genuine. It wasn't artificial. There's only me and her there. She had no one to impress. She didn't come there and think, oh, I'll impress that white devotee who was chanting. Right? Just I could see it was completely genuine. Just tears came. And she looked at me. And tears were coming from her eyes. And her voice was faltering. Which means she had love for Krishna. Her bhava praying. She had high level of love. And she looked at me. And I couldn't understand her. She spoke in Bengali. She was saying, just look. Just look. Like that. I've seen the picture, hundreds of times. But it doesn't do anything to me. But when she sees it, then tears just... Because she sees how much love Krishna has for his devotees. This is love. So you know when you're becoming advanced. You know when you have real humility, when tears come from the eyes. But then you can say, okay, tears are coming. But then you're still doing nonsense activities. So they're not real tears. That's called abhas. Abhas means you're in association with an advanced devotee. And because of that association, then something reflects in you. And it's called pratibimba. It's like a reflection. Doesn't mean you have it, because otherwise you start thinking, oh, I'm advanced, I'm crying. But then, you go home and you watch television. So it's like, you're advanced when you're in the class, but when you leave the class, then you do so many things. That's not real advancement. Real advancement is a higher level. So we understand when we're becoming advanced, when tears come from the eyes. And that's the symptom, because you see the gopis here, what are they doing? Tears are just cascading. It says tears are running like so much, it's wetting their clothes. That's really when you're crying, when your clothes start getting wet. But the acharyas say there's so much fire in their heart, right, of separation from Krishna, because they're with him, but they can't have direct relationship with him. So they're separated from him. They feel they're burning from that separation. Their inner garments are not becoming moist, even though so many tears are coming. There's so much heat in their heart, it's just drying everything up. This is advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we know we advance when tears come from the eyes. And Srila Prabhupada, he says in the Nectar of Devotion, he says, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, it should be like the child crying for the mother. Prabhupada says that. So when we chant, it should be like us crying for our mother. It should be that feeling of dependence on Krishna. And when that happens, it means tears come to the eyes. And actually, if you read the books of or hear the lectures of Gaur Govinda Swami, who was very advanced devotee of Prabhupada. Many of my Guru Maharaj and many of the devotees in ISKCON said he was very advanced devotee. So he always says this one point, there's the main point in his preaching. You have to learn to cry for Krishna. That's the whole point of the Hare Krishna movement. When you cry for Krishna, you get Krishna. If you cry for anything else, you get that. So it's up to you what you want. So the gopis are showing us what the real advancement is in Krishna consciousness. So, any points?
Mm-hmm.
Krishna's Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says he compares a worm in his tomb.
Humility. Yeah. Yeah, he feels that. Any other point?
It's also commendable to note over here that when Krishna is saying like this to them to go back and all, the gopis are taking the blame on themselves that their love is not sufficient enough to conquer Krishna. They are not putting the blame on Krishna, that the fault is with them, and that is, I think, in line with what you're saying about humility. They are always feeling that they are the lonely people and they don't have enough love for Krishna to conquer him. That's why he's asking them to go back.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the next couple of verses, because yeah, we'll explain the next few verses. That's good. But yeah, it's a good point. Okay. Although Krishna was their beloved, and although they had abandoned all other objects of desire for his sake, he had been speaking to them unfavorably. Nonetheless, they remained unflinching in their attachment to him. Stopping their crying, they wiped their eyes and began to speak, their voices stammering with agitation. So the Acharyas point out, what is the qualification of the gopis' love? It is completely devoid of calm. Calm means?
Lust.
There's nothing in them which is about themselves. In the material world, everything is about us. It is about our desire. Prabhupada says, as soon as you say, I want, that is sense gratification. I want this. That's sense gratification. I was in that room straight across there. Just two rooms there, the double room, just on the other side, with my Guru Maharaj many years ago. And I was in the room and some pastime was going on and he was chastising me. And then he said, why do you want to do this? So I said, I gave some reasons why I wanted to do this thing. And then he said, who cares what you want? He said, who cares what you want? Right? So that's it. Who cares what I want? So he taught me a great lesson. Right? Same thing happened to him many times with Prabhupada. Now he's with Prabhupada. he's in Mayapur. So he's with Prabhupada. And he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, though, preaching, there's some problem. Was there, and they're having some discussion, Prabhupada and him and some other devotees, and then and Tamal Krishnamurti said, well, I might as well go to the moon, right, and preach there, or China.
And go with this.
Right. So he said like, I might as well, go to the moon and preach, or China. There's so much problem. So then he goes, leaves of his bed, and then goes, takes rest, gets up for Mangalati next morning. He's in Mangalati. And one devotee taps him on the shoulder and says, Prabhupada wants to see you now. And Tamal Krishnamurti said, I don't want to go and see him, because he knew exactly what was about to happen. So I don't want to go and see him. And he said, no, Prabhupada said, now. So he knew what was going on. So he goes up, he offers a base, and he looks up, and Prabhupada said, you said you will go and preach in China? And Prabhupada was putting his tear like on. Right? He said, you'll go and preach in China? And Prabhupada said, Tamal Krishnamurti said, no, Prabhupada, I was only joking. And Prabhupada said, I did not take it as a joke. Krishna spoke through you. He said, Krishna spoke through you. I did not take it as a joke. And then, Tamal Krishnamurti was arguing with Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, he's running the Radha Damodar party, which, if you know the history of ISKCON, was a massive book distribution party in America, biggest book distribution party on the planet. He's doing big service for Prabhupada. So he said, Prabhupada, I'm doing this service, I can't go to China, all this like that. And then Prabhupada starts shaking, he's putting his tilak on, he starts shaking because he's becoming angry. Prabhupada's shaking. He said, I told you. He said, I want you to go to China. Right? And he looked at him. And then sitting behind him, his godbrother is Guru Kripa Maharaj. Right? He said, Prabhupada, I'll go to China. And Prabhupada said, no, I want him to go. right? I want him to go. And he was arguing with Prabhupada. But then he, Tomar Krishna said, but then he realized, you know, in a moment in front of Prabhupada, he said, you know, if I don't please Prabhupada, then everything doesn't mean anything. Everything. All my service doesn't mean anything if Prabhupada's not happy. So then he surrendered. He said, okay, Prabhupada, I'll go to China. And Prabhupada said, good. And then more passed on to a place that... And he came back to Prabhupada and he said, I can't go now anyway because it's too dangerous. And Prabhupada said, that's okay. And so it was, when Prabhupada left the planet, that's when he started going. But that's the point. And what's the point of our lives, right, if our guru and Krishna are not satisfied? So the gopis are teaching us here. There's no lust. Right? Lust means when you want something for yourself. Right? As soon as you want something for yourself, you can't attain Krishna. Right? It's difficult. It's a difficult thing. It's easy to sit here and preach it. You know, and I always say this to all of you, you know, when you study this stuff, a lot of things will come up in your heart. And come up, you know, and this is like the ultimate. This is the ultimate. Like this is the ultimate level of surrender to Krishna. Right? And then right now in my life, Krishna's taking certain things away from me, which I'm attached to. Right? Because I'm attached to certain situations. I like things in a particular way. Like, I say to Krishna, I'll serve you, I'll do whatever you want, but it's got to be like this. Right? And right now, as we speak, Krishna is wrecking it all. Yeah? Like, no, you'll serve me, but it's not going to be like this. Right? It's going to be quite different, actually. So it's difficult for me, and I'm trying to surrender to you. And I do, I want to surrender to Krishna, but it's not so easy, actually. I will surrender to you, but you know, I have my conditions. It's not unconditional devotional service. So Krishna's rocking the boat. And there's one part of me that likes it. He likes it that Krishna's rocking the boat. There's another part of me saying, why are you rocking the boat? You know, I want the boat to just go smoothly. So it's difficult. It's easy to say it in other words. It's easy to say, okay, unconditional devotional service, but to practice it is a different thing. When you can fully release your attachment and say, Krishna, I'll just serve you under any circumstance. Because when I chant my japa, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, why can't it be like this? Why can't it be like that? Why can't it be like that? But then I'm just wasting my time. I should be just chanting the Maha Mantra. I'm just absorbed in serving Krishna. Oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. But while I'm chanting, I'm not saying that. And I'm wasting my time with other things. It means I'm not detached from the material energy. So unconditional service is it's a high level. And that's what the gopis are showing us. It's unconditional devotional service. They only want Krishna. And actually, this is the level of Mahabhav. Mahabhav means there are different levels of prema. This is the highest level, which we're being shown here. So first of all, they show humility. But then what comes after humility? The gopis are very humble. They say to Krishna, actually the acharyas say that they're almost on the level they're going to beg Krishna. Or start crying, just begging him, don't reject us. Or begging him. But they won't. They don't do that. But then what comes after humility? Right? Pride. Contradiction. Right. 1 minute they're humble, but then they become proud. Right? Right? Obviously we're not good enough. That's what they're thinking, that's why they start crying. Obviously they're not good enough, but then that humility turns to pride. Wait a minute. You're telling us we're not good enough? You're telling us? You don't understand our love? What is wrong with you? Right? The intensity. And now their pride is manifesting. The power of their love. So powerful, they even chastise God himself. Right? And who is the most powerful out of all of them? Radharani, yeah. But who is the most bold out of all of them?
Lalita.
Yeah, Lalita. Like, when she speaks, even he gets scared. And that says God himself. But he starts getting shivering when she speaks. She says to him, who are you? Right? You don't treat Radharani like this. Right? She says that she's right onto him. Right, heavy. Right. She's the most ferocious out of everyone. But that's how they're feeling. In the beginning it's humility, but now it's transforming into pride. Right? We don't have love, but then they start thinking about it and say, wait a minute, you know, who is he to judge us? Who are you? Right? Why are you treating us like this? Why would you treat Radhika like this? Right now they're becoming, putting their feet down and they're angry. Now they're becoming angry actually. It says they're crying so much, it's wetting their clothes. But because there's anger there in the heart, it's burning, evaporating everything. There's a mixed emotions. This is called Mahabhav. It's a contradictory things going on simultaneously. And now it's about to go, as we go on the next video, it goes into Unmada. Unmada means they become mad. Right? And they start saying things which sometimes are not even coherent, which you would not even normally say. You certainly wouldn't say it to someone you respect, but they're just Unmad. And becoming. So what we'll see here from the Gopis is the highest, highest levels of love for Krishna. You have to, we can't go into everything, but you know, Vishnu, have you got Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's book? Sarita Darshini? Big thick book by Bhanuswami? Like that. So you should read that. You should be reading that at the same time, because he goes right into the details. There's a lot of detail in here. We can't go into all the detail because it's too much to. Okay.
And it looks very characteristic of like Krishna's playing the role of a 16-year-old boy to the teen. It's very characteristic of a conversation between teenagers at that age. You know, they get angry, then they want the love, but they get angry also. It's very characteristic when we think back of teenagers talking, like lovers who are teenagers talking.
Yeah, because that's why it's difficult to understand Krishna's pastimes. God is a teenager. You know, we bow on the ground. It's like, you know, Jai Kishan, right? So he's exactly Krishna's age, right? We said the other day. So you imagine walking in, offering your obeisances to him. You know, like going up to a 16-year-old, like fully, you know. You know, you are the Supreme Lord. You know. So we've got the mentality. You know, we go to worship Krishna, but we don't really meditate fully on who and what he is. Right? It's a 16-year-old boy, right? Who is just frivolous and dear Lalita, right? Just always jovial and joking like that. But this is our God, right? And the Gopis are those young people, and they have all these emotions. They're locked into that age bracket, right? Krishna's 16, right? He's locked into that. He's like a young boy. Now, even though he's the wisest person and all those things, but he's locked into that, and the Gopis are locked into that. So you have to go into their mentality to understand all this. And the thing is, as soon as you start going into their mentality, what happens? Right? Lust comes up in your heart. Because you go back to your 16-year-old time, right? When you were that age. But it was all about lust. It's all about me. That's why it's hard to understand Krishna and the Gopis. Because it's 16-year-old boys and girls, but there's no lust. Right? But it looks exactly like what we call lust, but it's completely pure and spiritual. But it's still exactly, not exactly the same, but this is a reflection of that, which is. So it's not easy to understand these pastimes to go in. You have to go in on a very deep level, deep meditation. Okay, the beautiful Gopi said, O all-powerful one, you should not speak in this cruel way. Do not reject us who have renounced all material enjoyment to render devotional service to your lotus feet. Reciprocate with us, O stubborn one, just as the primeval Lord, Sri Narayana, reciprocates with his devotees in their endeavors for liberation. So, their love is unswerving. Because they're saying, you're speaking to us in a cruel way. What is the final verse of Shikshastika? Aslisha va padaritam pinashtumam adarshanam adarshanam. Means even if you don't come and see me, right? Whether you come or you don't come, I still serve you the same, right? And we have to learn that same mood of service, right? It's easy to be enthusiastic when your guru comes, right? But what about the other 362 days of the year where you don't see him? And sometimes I just only see my guru 3 or 4 days a year. Now I don't see him at all. So are you the same as when they're there and when they're not there? Right? Everyone's enthusiastic when the guru is there. Oh, the guru's here, like everyone goes crazy. Right? And everyone starts offending each other and, you know, starts trying to step on each other's head. So I can be first to serve the guru and I can be, you know, the main one and like that, and pushing the other devotees back and stopping them from seeing I'm controlling, and you know, it's like, you know, and if we become a bit more advanced, then we serve with our god brothers and god sisters nicely. But are we the same? Do we have the same enthusiasm when they're there and when they're not there? Right, that's bhakti. Right, you serve the guru exactly the same every day of the year. Right, so the gopis are saying a darshan. If he's there or he's not there, we just love him, we serve him. If we happen to see him, that's the greatest benediction. But if he's not there, we'll serve him anyway. Whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken hearted by not being present before me. So when he handles you roughly, how do you react then? When Krishna starts ruining your life, do you still smile at him when you go into the temple? Do. Sometimes I go in there and I say, you know, what are you doing? This wasn't the agreement. We had an agreement and you're not doing what I said you should do. I said, I will serve you, but it has to be like this. Right? I have a list. I have requirements and you're not meeting them. Sometimes that's my mentality when I see Krishna. I go and see him, and so, you know, I say to him, so what's the problem? You know I need these things and you're not doing it. So whether you handle me roughly, so when he handles you roughly, do you still serve him exactly the same? Or when he makes you broken hearted by not being present? So there's one pastime in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who is it preaching Mayavad philosophy? Mukunda, I think it is. It's Mukunda, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. He's preaching some Mayavad philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want to see him for 10 million lifetimes. He said, get him out. So I don't want to see his face. He's preaching Mayavad, get him away. Right, so they take him out. Right? And then he sends a message back to Lord Chaitanya. He said, so when will you get the mercy? Lord Chaitanya said, I will not see him for 10 million lifetimes. He said, then I only have to wait 10 million lifetimes and I'll see him again. Right? So, I mean, the intensity of the love. Right? Even if you make me brokenhearted or you do not give me your darshan, still I will serve you. Right? So this is what the gopis are showing us. This is the highest level of love. Yeah? So this is the highest verse of Shikshastika, actually. This is like the pinnacle of our philosophy right here. It's pure love of Krishna. So we have to. If you understand it, then you can understand all the pastimes. Our dear Krishna, as an expert in religion, you have advised us that the proper religious duty for women is to faithfully serve their husbands, children, and other relatives. We agree that this principle is valid, but actually this service should be rendered to you. After all, O Lord, you are the dearest, dearmost friend of all embodied souls. You are the most intimate relative, and indeed, you are their very self. So what are they saying to Krishna in this verse? Right. Yeah, how are they identifying Krishna? Or treating Krishna. They're saying, you're Paramatma, you're Super Soul. Right? So how can the gopis be saying this? Because in Vrindavan, there's no awe and reverence. Right? The acharyas describe that when they're a sambhog, what does sambhog mean? Union. When they're with him, because they're with him, it's so sweet, they forget all the aishwarya. Right? They don't think this is God, they think this is Krishna, because they're with him. And he's so beautiful, they can't think he's God. He's Krishna. Right? So they're just absorbed. okay, he's amazing, but he's Krishna, right? But when they're not with him, when there is vipralamba, vipralamba means separation. When they're not with him, it becomes so intense, right, that they see all of his qualities. They see his sweetness, but they also see his aishwarya, because the love becomes so intense. So they're thinking at the moment, because he's, even though he's there, but there's separation, they're thinking, wait a minute, you are God. So reciprocate with us. You're the Supreme Personality. So the fire of Vipralamba intensifies their love. And like when you're cooking milk on the fire, then the impurities come up, like this pieces of dirt or straw come up, right, in the village. So they come up to the surface. So their love comes up to the surface. They say, wait a minute, you're God. Huh? So you should satisfy us. Don't tell us to go back. You are our husband. You're everyone's husband. Don't tell us to go back to our husbands. You're Paramatma. You're everyone's husband. So we're staying right here, right now. Right? And we don't want to go anywhere except be with you. Right? So in their intensity, they're speaking very intensely to Krishna. You know, we wouldn't speak like this to Krishna. Yeah. Would you go in front of Radha Balava and say, you know, hey, by the way, right, I've got something to say to you. We won't go like that. You won't go in front of Gaunatya, Radha Balava, Jagannath Balava, and you won't say, you know, we won't speak like that, because we don't have that kind of love. But they have such intensity, they would just, they're speaking to him very intensely. Expert transcendentalists always direct their affection toward you because they recognize you as their true self and eternal beloved. What use do we have for these husbands, children, and relatives of ours who simply give us trouble? Therefore, O Supreme Controller, grant us your mercy. O Lotus-Eyed One, please do not cut down our long-cherished hope to have your association. Can anyone relate to this verse? Hands up if you can relate. 100%. Has your husband, child, or relative ever given you a problem? Welcome to the material world. Okay. So in the spiritual world, it is exactly the same. They abandon everything. And it says in the spiritual world, what's one of the differences between the spiritual world and the material world? In the material world, the gopis' husbands manifest. Abhimanyu appears, where Krishna's shadow appears, Abhiman. But in the spiritual world, the husbands aren't actually there. But they have the Abhiman, or the feeling we are married to someone else, so that there is parakeet above, or the feeling, but there's no actual husband. So they're saying what use do we have for these husbands? So the point is they have the feeling. We don't need anyone else. And this is why the gopis, what they're preaching is the level of consciousness, which in this world we call sannyas. It's rare in this world you'll find a sannyasi. Sannyasis means someone who is given body, mind, and words to
Krishna.
So it means they give up everything for Krishna. That's rare in this world. But that's what the gopis are. And Bhakti Charuswami, he was here one time. He doesn't come to Melbourne very often, but he was here a few years back and he was giving a class. And he said, actually, sannyas, the reason you take sannyas is to understand the mood of the gopis. That's actually what it is. That's what sannyas is. You can't understand the gopis until you become a sannyasi. So it means we're not going to necessarily become sannyasi by taking the danda and putting on saffron. I don't think I will do that in this lifetime. When I was a brahmachari a few years back, I used to always think that. I remember I did they made a documentary one time. I was in Adelaide at the time when they came, and they were making a documentary, some people filming, and they interviewed me. And I remember saying, back then I was about 28, I said, yeah, by the time I'm 50, I'll be a sannyasi. Yeah, my wife was sitting there and I'm saying, you know, I'll be a sannyasi, like that. And she kind of looked at me like, I said, yeah, that's our philosophy. 50, we give up everything. Right. Now I'm 47. Yeah, and I'm married a second time. Right. And I've got no aspiration now. I mean, back then I was deluded. You know, I thought, you know, I'll become a sannyasi. But now, you know, now I'm 3 years away from the actual point where you're hypothetically supposed to take sannyasi. I realize I can't do it at this point in time. I don't have the purity of heart to surrender to Krishna, mind, body, and words on that level. But I'm aspiring in this life. I don't think in this life I'll put on saffron and hold a danda. I used to think that, you know, many years ago. I used to think one day I'll be a Maharaj. Yeah, I think most of the men here think that at some point. We've had that delusion, you know. Yeah, and now we're wiping our kids' bottoms and, you know, changing their nappies. But previously, you know, we may have had that thought, but realistically, that's a high level of consciousness. But at least internally, one day we have to become sannyasis, right? All of us, men and women, one day we have to give everything to Krishna, mind, body, and words, in Krishna's service. Because that's what the gopis, that's their consciousness. It is sannyas consciousness. Okay. Until today, our minds were absorbed in household affairs, but you easily stole both our minds and our hands away from our housework. Now our feet won't move one step from your lotus feet. How can we go back to Braj? What would we do there? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions in the second chapter, he uses the phrase stita dhir muni. You know this phrase? In some of the verses in the second chapter of the Gita. Stita dhir, what does that mean?
Fixed.
Fixed, yeah. Stita means like stan, means fixed, not going anywhere. Dhir means someone who's very grave, very sorry, just fixed. Muni means a sage. So this is what it is. This is what Krishna is speaking. Right? One time, Prahlad Nandaswami, one time he said that all the verses in Bhagavad Gita are spoken in Madhurya Ras, in the mood of Krishna's pastime with the gopis. The whole Bhagavad Gita. If you're elevated, you'll see it like that. Because the Stitadir Muni, we say, oh, that's just second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That's very basic. But it's not very basic. It's actually the Krishna, in one sense, he's speaking about the consciousness of the gopis. They're just fixed. We're not going anywhere. So you work it out. Are we going to stay here all night? If you're here, we're here. You go back, we go back. Right? Whatever you do, we do. Right? So Krishna cannot shake them. We have to become like that. Okay, one more verse. Dear Krishna, please pour the nectar of your lips upon the fire within our hearts, a fire you ignited with your smiling glances and the sweet song of your flute. If you do not, we will consign our bodies to the fire of separation from you, O friend, and thus like yogis attain to the abode of your lotus feet by meditation. So they're praying to Krishna, please extinguish the fire of separation. You called us to come, now we're here, and we're burning with the desire to serve you. So fulfill that desire, dance with us. You called us here, right? All we heard was Radha, Lalita, Vishaka, Champakalata, Sudevi, Rami. He's calling everyone, come. Then they all get there. And then he says, now go. Right. So they're saying, now we're burning. Right? We ran to be with you. Now we're here. Right? And all we want to do is dance with you. Right? And play in the forest with you. And play in the Jamuna with you. And serve you. And now you're telling us to satisfy us. So Prabhupada said very simply, man proposes, God disposes. So when you propose to God like this, he will satisfy you. Right. He's testing the gopis. Right? He's testing all of us as well. We're on this level. Our test is down. We can't even pass the test on this level. The gopis are this level. and they pass the test. You know, so we have to pass a few more tests. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.